We are going to continue this morning on our theme of major lessons from minor prophets. And we started really 2 weeks ago from Zephaniah. And the verse that kind of stood out there is that the Lord is singing over you. The people did not get what they deserved. And boy, what a great highlight and reminder that was, that we do not get what we deserve. Instead, God chooses to bless and provide and hold us and call us and even to comfort us and to sing over us. And then last week we looked in the book of Haggai and the call of God to the people who have returned from exile to rebuild the temple. And you might remember that the application of that message was for us was we're not here to rebuild the temple, but God's temple is within us. And we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And what does God want to do in us? How does God want to rebuild our faith and restore us to Him? And that was the lesson in the book of Haggai. Well, this morning we go to the next book, and we come to Zechariah. Again, it's right at the end of the Old Testament. There's only one book after Zechariah, and that's Malachi. And so we're going to look at Zechariah today. And in many ways, Zechariah and Haggai, who was just before him in the order in the scripture, had a lot in common. They were around at the same time. They both were prophets at the same time. Their message was to the same people, the people who returned from Babylon. But where Haggai was a prophet, Zechariah had double duty. He was both a prophet and a priest. He came from a line of priests. He is the grandson of Iddo, and who came back from Babylon with him. Zechariah would have come back as a younger man, of course. But being a priest, it gave Zechariah the advantage of being very familiar with the worship practices of the people. He knew what was going on. He knew the ins and outs and what was happening. And this would be important, as we'll find out in a little bit. So this morning, I'd like for us to go back to Zechariah's message to the people. And we begin with the name, Zechariah. The name literally means the Lord remembers. Of course, the question becomes, well, what exactly does the Lord remember? That's the question we're going to be looking at a little bit this morning. The message of Zechariah begins with an invitation. Zechariah chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. And let me just turn over to it. I was going to say pull it in my Bible, but there you go. Right before Malachi, just like I said, he didn't run away. Thank you for staying where you were, Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 3, this is what it says. Therefore, tell the people, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Return to me, declares the Lord, and I will return to you. Oh, right away, the implication of that verse is that the people had turned away from God, which in fact they had. That's the whole reason why they were taken into exile in the first place, because they had turned away from God. But note the invitation that God extends just the same. Return to me, declares the Lord, and I will return to you. And I just want to say it's so wonderful. That verse, it reminds us, it teaches us that God doesn't abandon us when we fall into a mess. God doesn't write us off. We looked at that a couple weeks back as well. When we run into trouble, when we make choices that are harmful to ourselves or to others, God doesn't write us off. He invites us back. It kind of reminds me of the verse in James chapter 4, verse 8, where it says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." You know, turn to me, return to me, and I will return to you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And I really appreciate that, because who hasn't found themselves in a place where they have fallen away from God? Who hasn't found themselves in a place where, whether it was intentional or just because of carelessness or maybe because of the temptation at the moment, they have made choices, they have embraced something, they have turned in a direction that was far from God. And it would be so easy on the one hand for God to say, "That's it, you've had it." But instead, God gives us that invitation. And I like how that invitation isn't even forced upon us. God doesn't force things upon our lives. We have choices to make. We have a choice to make. We either draw near to God, as it said in James, or we don't. We draw away. We either return to the Lord God Almighty, or we go our own way. We either choose to follow God, which leads to life, or we choose to follow our own way that leads inevitably to destruction. Throughout the scripture, there's always the choice between life and blessings or disobedience and the problems that come with it. And so Zechariah reminds them that they need to come to God, return to me, and I will return to you. And then he says in Zechariah chapter 1, verse 4, "Do not be like your forefathers, to whom the earlier prophets proclaimed, 'This is what the Lord says, turn from your evil ways and your evil practices,' but they would not listen or pay attention to me, declares the Lord." In other words, learn a lesson from your forefathers. They were also given a warning, but they didn't heed it, and they run into problems. And now here you are, and the whole reason why they went into exile in the first place was because they didn't listen to God. And Zechariah is pleading with the people, return to the Lord. Listen to the Lord. Come to the Lord. This is a recurring theme throughout the Bible. If you go your own way, you're going to run into trouble. We know that to be true. If you do what is right in your own eyes, if you follow your heart, if you do what is pleasing for yourself, if I do what is pleasing for myself, if I feed the desires of the sinful nature, I am going to get into trouble. It's not a popular message, because today we'd like to think, the world would like to think, that you could do anything and it doesn't matter. You could do whatever you like. It doesn't matter. There's a fix for that. There's a solution for that. And whatever the consequences are, we'll figure out a way. Just do whatever pleases your heart. And it leaves us empty, and it leaves us in trouble, and it leaves us far from God. And that's where the people were. They were far from God. They had done their own thing, and they were in trouble. You know, this is one of the realities of life. When we push God away far enough times, sooner or later, we're left alone. God doesn't want to leave us. That's not his desire. His invitation is for us to come to him, to draw near to him, to return to him. But when we keep pushing God, pretty soon we're left alone. And in a way, God was very gracious. They probably didn't think it at the time, but God was very gracious in letting them and sending them out in exile, because exile became an object lesson for them. That if you push God away from your lives, if you don't listen, pretty soon you're going to be left out on your own. And it's not going to be a pleasant situation. God, in his love, in his mercy, I believe, sent them out in exile so they can see what life is like when we push God away. And we are the beneficiaries of that. We can see that. We can look back in history. We can probably look back in our own lives and find times when we have not really paid that close attention to the Lord's command, his teaching, his will. And we found ourselves in an uncomfortable position. It's called learning the hard way, right? Some learn, some don't. And it seems like the people here that Zechariah was speaking to, they were having a hard time learning. And that's why he says, remember your forefathers? Remember they were told and they didn't listen? And maybe we should pay attention to that. When you go to Psalm 137, you can almost hear the lament, the sadness in the people who lost so much because they did their own thing. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars, we hung our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And then here's that line, how can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? They used to, now that they are in exile, or at that time when they were in exile, they realized how good they used to have it. A little bit like the prodigal son, right? When he went off and he did his own thing and went his own way, and he wanted his inheritance. And then after a while, he found himself in a mess, literally in a mess, and starving. And the scripture says when he came to his senses, when he remembered what it was like back then, he decided he needed to return to the Father. And in a sense, this is the Old Testament version of that in the people. They'd gone away from home. They were in a foreign land. They were in a distant land. And they were in a mess, and they think back of where they were, and oh, man, we were blessed. But now they've lost everything. They lost the temple, they lost their homes, they lost their land, they lost their fields. How they wish they could go back when they were in exile. There was no joy left in their heart. There was no song left in their voices. Well, now they are back, and we come back to Zechariah. They are back physically, but they're not back spiritually. They're back physically, just like we are back, those of you who are here this morning, we are back physically here at the church after having been away for some 13 weeks. Well, they were away for 70 years. You know, we had a hard time with 13 weeks, right? You know, 13 weeks without being able to meet together in the church, and that was tough for all of us. But for them, they had 70 years. But here's the point. God brought them back from exile, But that was just the physical aspect of it. They were back physically. God wanted to do something much more than just bring them back physically. He was looking for them to do more than simply being there and gathering together. He wanted to be Lord of their lives. He wanted to be an important part of their lives. And friends, I just wanted to throw out for a moment that faith is so much more than a religious checklist. It's not merely a bunch of do's and don'ts, and I've done my do's and I've avoided my don'ts, and I've got my nose clean and everything is in right, and God is looking to restore us spiritually. He is looking to change the hearts of people. As we looked at last week, God wasn't just wanting the people to rebuild the temple. God is wanting to rebuild people's faith. And that's the heart of the message here in Zechariah. Return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you. So much more than simply coming back to Jerusalem. It's so much more than rebuilding a temple, as important as that was. Return to me. Return your heart to me. No matter where you've been, no matter how far you've gone, no matter how messed up you've been, return to me. Isn't that a beautiful invitation that God gives us? And to reinforce that message, God speaks to Zechariah and through Zechariah, not only in words, but also in dreams and visions. And starting in chapter 1, verse 7, and going through to the end of chapter 6 in Zechariah, God speaks to Zechariah through a series of 8 dreams. And much like the dreams you have or I have these days, they were strange. There's all kinds of strange things that happened that don't make logical sense, but they did have a point to them. And the point, again, even in the dreams, was that if the people would return to him, the Lord would return to them. And just to be absolutely clear, God describes what that should look like. Again, it's not a matter of simply going to the temple or going to the church and following some rituals. It's a matter of a changed heart. A changed heart. And one way that is described is in Zechariah chapter 7, verse 9 and 10. It says, administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. In your heart, do not think evil of each other. Wow. What great instruction there is there for us. This is what's always been close to God's heart. And he is essentially saying, if you put yourself first, you're going to run into trouble. But if you put others ahead of yourself, if you watch out for those who are disadvantaged in some way or another, the isolated, the outcast, the lonely, the rejected, as far as God is concerned, that is what faith is. That is how you show faith. And again, if we can go back to the book of James just for a moment, we find the same theme there. It's interesting, Zechariah and James, they carry the same themes a couple of times. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. That is what is dear to God's heart. And so when God says that return to me and I will return to you, bring your heart to me. This is what a changed heart would look like. Putting others ahead of ourselves. But instead of administering true justice, showing mercy, and caring for others, we come back to Zechariah chapter 7, verse 11. It very sadly, it says, they refuse to pay attention. Stubbornly, they turned their backs and stopped their ears. They made their hearts as hard as flint. You know, God's ways are not hard to figure out. If we just open our heart and listen to the Lord, open our ears to Him. But they refused. And the result is there in verse 14, Zechariah 7, 14. This is how they made the pleasant land desolate. They ruined it. They messed it up. And yet, this very thing is what makes the message in Zechariah so meaningful. I will remember. It's not that God is saying to Zechariah, I will remember everything they've ever done wrong, and boy, am I going to hold it against them forever. It's not that kind of I will remember. What God is saying is that despite their stubbornness, despite their sin and their selfishness and their rebellion and turning their backs away from God, forgetting Him, even though they forget God, what the Lord God Almighty is saying is, I will still remember them. In other words, I will not turn my backs on them. And so the invitation is there to the people through Zechariah and to us. Return to me, declares the Lord, and I will return to you. What a beautiful message that is, friends. The good news is that God remembers you. Oh, some of you could give great testimony of that. How at certain points in your life where you had fallen on the wayside for whatever reason, God remembered you and came to you in that moment and offered Himself to you. Would you come to me? And you responded. And you are here. And God has been doing a work in your life. But for others who might be at that place even today where they have felt the consequences of, well, of their sin, of their self, and felt like they've wandered away from God, the message, the good news from Zechariah is, I will remember you. And in fact, the rest of the book of Zechariah focuses on that theme, the coming of the Messiah, who, of course, Jesus did come to do just that, to open a way for us to come to God the Father, to be redeemed, to be made new. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. All things become new. That is an invitation that God is giving us today to make things new in our hearts. Even though we have wandered, even though we have fallen, even though we deserve to be forgotten, the Word of God says, I will remember you. And that's the word of encouragement I wanted to bring to you this morning. The major lesson from this minor prophet, that the Lord remembers you. They had been through a hard time. They were still going through a hard time. They had fallen on the wayside. There were changes to be made in their lives. There was work to be done. Things wouldn't turn around all at once, but through it all, the Lord was not going to sweep them away. The Lord was not going to forget them. And the message for us this morning is the same. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what your circumstances are necessarily in your life. And you might be at a place where you feel like God is, I don't even know why I'm listening to this. I don't know even why I'm here. God doesn't want anything to do with me. I want to remind you and assure you that yes, God absolutely does want everything to do with you. And though you might have fallen and might have turned your back on God and you might have forgotten him, the message from Zechariah is that God has not forgotten you. And you might be in a situation where you know the Lord, but you are facing so many headaches and problems and challenges and difficulties and you're thinking, where are you, God? Have you forgotten me? And there are times in the scripture where God's people have felt that way. But the message comes back. No, I have not forgotten you. I see you, I know you, and I hold you in my hand. And I just want to encourage you, he sees your life. He understands your struggle. And if you've messed up and fallen on the wayside, he knows that you are there. And yet he extends an invitation to you. The same invitation that was presented through Zechariah. Return to me, declares the Lord, and I will return to you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, Lord, as we look at this message in Zechariah, I am reminded, Lord God, that we don't deserve anything that you have given to us. We don't deserve to be remembered. We don't deserve your grace, your love, your mercy. But God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ. You remember us. You have not forgotten us. And Lord, this morning, if there is somebody, whether they are here in person or watching online, who is feeling like they've gone too far from God, that the guy won't have anything more to do with them, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them even now. And Lord, that their heart would return to you. You have not forgotten them. You know where they are. Even if they've gone to a far off land spiritually, even if they've distanced themselves as far as they think they could go, even intentionally, Lord God, your love reaches out to them and your invitation is extended to them. And Lord, I pray if there is such, Lord, person or persons today, Lord, that they would just call out to you. Just call out to you. It's all they need to do. Lord God, have mercy on me. Forgive me. Come into my life. Return to me. I need you, Lord. If we just call out to you, no matter where we are, no matter where we've been, no matter how far we've fallen, Lord, that you would come and restore and rebuild and bring to life your people. And Lord, for others here who do know you, Lord God, but are in a place, Lord, where there is so much happening in their life that it feels like they're alone, would you just remind them as well, Lord God, that your eye is upon them. As your eye was on the sparrow, Lord, your eye is upon your people, and that you will carry them, and that you will see them through. And for all of this, we give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.